Are you a questioner, a wanderer, or even a bit of a snooper? If so, then you'll feel right at home in Knoxville. We've got miles of trails to wander in our urban wilderness, award-winning eateries to satisfy your culinary cravings, cultural sites to open your mind, and dog-friendly activities that'll have everyone wagging. Knoxville, calling the curious. Learn more at visitknoxville.com.
You're listening to The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
All right, 802 on ESPN 97.5, 713-780-3776. You got thoughts on the college football playoff? You like what they're doing, 12 teams, and some interesting twists to it now. Originally, it was thought
Being discussed, right? It has not been okay.
No.
It's still in the discussion.
You know what? This is going to happen. After 2023, this is going to happen.
Well, I'm just saying, it's in the discussion phase.
Right.
The discussion is
That just because you win a conference championship doesn't mean you're automatically in. No automatic bid.
No, it'd be the top, top six conference champions in terms of where you rank. So, for example, if the Pac-12, that's the one they always point to. If the Pac-12 had its conference champion at 8-4 and they finished 24th behind a Sun Belt conference champion, the Sun Belt conference champion would go in before the Pac-12 champion would go in.
So the BCS rankings.
And you know what? It's not out of the realm of possibility.
You're going to piss people off about that.
It's not out of the realm of possibility.
Well, that's for first round. That's for the bye, right?
No,
well,
it's
but
for
the Sun Belt Conference champion also would take care of the group of five getting a team.
Well, this is a deal. Like, let's say the Big 12, ACC, SEC, and Big 10, the four major conferences we usually talk about have champions in the top 10. And then you have the ACC, let's use Houston for example, finishes 15. Louisiana finishes 20 in the Sun Belt. The Pac-12, if their champion finishes 24th, they don't get in.
They don't get in at all.
That isn't going to fly. Anytime you tell somebody, because that's the one thing that people cry about the most is, division, you got to win your conference. If you're telling a conference winner that there's an expanded, they're expanding it times three, and a conference champ from a Power 5 doesn't get in, that ain't going to fly.
Don't go 8-4.
I'll tell you what, I don't see that happen.
8-5, whatever it would be.
I don't see. I love the conference champs actually getting. They will get at large bid.
I like the idea of just the best getting in. I'm fine with a conference champ. If you know your conference is booty and you're not in the top 12, oh well, too bad. So sad. Sorry, you should not. If your conference is that bad and you didn't whack your conference,
it would be, oh my, you want to talk about a slap to the Pac-12. Because let's face it, the Pac-12 is probably the only conference. Now, the ACC has had Clemson and everybody else for a few years now.
It runs in straight. Hey, listen, the Big 12 has been no great shakes over the last couple of years.
No, but they've had Oklahoma.
Yeah. And that was it. Yeah. The rest of the teams. And that Baylor was pretty good a couple of years ago. Mm. But it's been pretty garbage, too.
But when if you get three SEC teams in and no Pac-12 team, you want to talk about...
Be better.
Yeah.
Look, but the Pac-12...
There is a Southern bias to this.
But if you're the Pac-12 and you finish behind a Sun Belt team because you couldn't find a way to scratch out a nine and four regular season after
you
winning your title, that's on you.
Yeah.
They gave you every opportunity.
You can't get into 12?
They're giving you the top six conference winners. If you can't be in the top six.
That's because it's such a tough conference, Bill.
Is it?
Yeah, up and down. You can't. Well, no one can dominate that conference.
Who are the six conferences?
It'd be the Sun Belt winner.
You'd have to have AAC and
AAC.
Sun Belt.
Yeah, well, Louisiana, they finished in the top 20, I think. Coastal
Appalachian and Louisiana are legit teams.
In the Sun Belt,
They put some stuff together now. They got good coaches.
Well, yeah. Well, so is the...
And we know the AAC will do it as well.
No, I'm not debating. Yeah. AAC is the one that's the obvious kind of...
So if a Pac-12 winner can't be ahead of a Sun Belt winner, well... So,
how many times?
What do you want? What do you want from us?
Yeah, that's
true. And it's not Boise will finish ahead of.
Oh, the Mountain West too is the other one. Yeah, with Boise.
Oh no, you're gonna have some. You'll have to me once again. I don't care if you're gonna expand this. It needs to be my whole problem with this with expansion is I want the very best, the best of the best. I don't want just slappies in there at all. And expanding to 12, don't make it where slappies get in. If you're gonna already have some iffy teams in there anyway, relative to your top three teams, so if that's gonna be the case. Then you know what? No. If you're not good enough to be a top six division conference winner, too bad. But see, here's what's going to happen. There is this entitlement thing where people feel like if they win a conference, then they're entitled to a spot. And I don't agree with that. I think you lessen your championship if you just let a worse team in just because they won a division in a bad conference. I'm not for that. You know what? Schedule tougher, have a better team, but just because you win that's like the NFC East last year. Washington, Philadelphia, Cowboys. If y'all aren't good enough, then too bad, so sad. Get out of my playoffs.
So looking at a breakdown of what the playoffs would have been every year since the BCS came into, and since the playoff, not the BCS, since the playoff came into existence, the four-team playoff, last year is the only year that the Pac-12 wouldn't have had a team in. Pac-12 had a team in every other year.
Yeah. They probably would have.
Yeah. U of H would have made it in 2015. They would have been the 12 seed. For the most part, the group of five team is going to be the 12 seed, with a couple of exceptions over these years. UCF actually was an 8 seed, would have been an 8 seed 1 year. According to this, they would have been an 8 seed. But for the most part, the Western Michigan team that was really good, the UCF team, before they got in 2018, it's the 8 seed. You got plenty. I mean, the SEC is going to dominate this thing with at-large bids.
Yes, and they're also really giving some credence to winning your conference. If you're one of the top four conference winners, you get a bye. So let's say let's use the Pac-12 as an example. Let's say USC wins the conference, but they win it as a going in as a 10. Ranked by the committee, they would, if they're one of the top four conference winners, they would get a bye. While an out large who may have finished higher in the rankings would just host the game in the first round. So they are still giving some credit to a conference winner as long as you finish part of that top four.
Which means Notre Dame,
no matter how good they are, won't get a bye.
They can't get a
bye. They can't get a bye because they didn't win a conference. That is the one. And Notre Dame,
is not going to go down the way it's.
Well, they asked the Notre Dame people about it. They asked, I think, their AD, Nicka, look, it means we don't play an extra game. We're less beat up, but it also gives us
Notre Dame privilege.
It gives us more access to the playoffs. So they probably won't. You know, they asked them about this before they even put this deal in place. So Notre Dame's not going to have a problem, apparently. Look, we don't play that game. And it opens up the playoff to us even more. So we're okay. I don't think Notre Dame's going to complain.
Yeah, I guess the...
Yeah, they don't play the extra the conference championship
games. Yeah, they don't have to play that. Yeah. And there's more access to them to get in.
Right. Now, in this scenario, there are plenty of times Notre Dame would have been fifth or sixth.
Yeah. Because the BCS rarely takes a look at Notre Dame. Like, that's the thing is, I feel bad for Notre Dame because they almost never get the benefit of the doubt from selection committees. So hopefully Notre Dame can get a fair shake finally.
According to this, the breakdown of what the playoffs would have been from 2014 to 2020, surprisingly, the Big Ten had more bids than the SEC.
You know, some years where Penn State was good and didn't get in. Yeah. Wisconsin is always hovering around there.
Penn State 1 year is a 12 seed.
But even Wisconsin was probably the one that jumps out the most in my eyes. They're always hovering around that top 10 area, and whether they're losing to Ohio State or Penn State in a conference title game, they still would be one of the top 12 teams in the country.
Big Ten would have had 20, SEC 19, the ACC 12, Big 12 12, and the Pac-12 11.
Yeah.
So AAC would have had 5 bids, and then Independence 2, that would have been Notre Dame. Or are they? No, I think they're considered in the ACC.
Yeah, because Notre Dame has at least been in twice already.
Notre Dame had more than that. had more bids than that. Actually, no, they didn't.
Have they only bid?
Oh, no, yeah, they had. They did. Okay. Three bids. 810 ESPN. I like it. I think it's, and you know what? These little intricacies that you got to deal with or whatever, and, you know, conference champs and whether or not they make it or rankings and all of that stuff, that's minutia that'll be taken care of, that you take care of. But the fact that they're going to 12 teams is a big plus for college football. The only sport that you don't have a chance to win the national championship in is Division I football. That's the only sport in all. The smallest of schools, Tarleton State, can win the basketball title or the hockey title or the wrestling title or whatever. The only sport that you can't is college football.
And it opens up the regular season. I know people say it's going to make it less meaningful. I would disagree. It may make it less meaningful for if you only care about Clemson, Alabama, because, oh, they can lose a game late and still get in. But what if you're a fan of, let's throw out Texas. Let's say Texas has a late season game against Tech, and they're at number 13 or 14 or 15.
It's a big game.
What would a win mean if they can look across the country and go, oh, look, Minnesota just lost to Wisconsin. Minnesota's out of the way, and now we're up. So it adds some significance to some games. Now you may say, oh, Texas doesn't have a shot at a national title. You don't think that not only the TV networks, but Texas people would love to be the 12 seed and go play a 5 seed on the road?
Yeah, so the argument that it will lessen the importance of the regular season is the exact opposite. Now there are more teams. They're estimating on the final weekend that there could be as many as 25 to 30 teams that will be affected by that final weekend of college football. When we know now with four playoff teams, there's only two or three games that mean something.
And I know our soon-to-be departed, AJ tweeted about why would you want a team like Oklahoma State involved in playing for the title, because those are the teams we kind of ignore during crummy bowl games. I don't know if people know this, but the average margin of victory in a college football semifinal is almost 20 points. So it's not as if the elite teams that are playing provide compelling games for us.
No, they haven't.
So what do I care if number 12 plays number 5? You'd probably, the gap between 5 and 12 is smaller than the gap between 1 and 3 and 4 some years. So give me 5 versus 12 in a compelling game on a campus site.
That means something.
That's good. I know they probably won't win a national title, but as far as inventory and entertainment, bring it all to me. Bring every matchup you can, because if Oklahoma State has to go to, I don't know, Notre Dame for a first round game, good. I don't think I've ever seen that matchup.
Miami Dell and Oklahoma State John looking for their free lunch
Miami.
Into the playoffs.
I didn't even mention Miami.
Looking for y'all's free participation trophy into the playoffs.
No, let's have another.
Here we go.
Poulan Weed Eater Bowl that means nothing and no one cares about instead of a meaningful playoff
game.
I'm
for contracting bowls too.
Yeah. Well, they are contracting too. They're going to lose four to ten bowls after this.
Well, they should after last year. I'm sure last year the amount of money they lost is going to be
Except,
hard.
You
on
know
some of
who
bowls.
Doesn't want to lose them? The guys who are running those bowl games that give themselves $1 million.
Those two or three people salaries. Oh man, what will those two or three people do?
Yeah, no, there's two or three for every bowl. Some
who are just
give
grifting
themselves
money,
millions of dollars.
Yeah. Oh,
for
well,
that one
too
game
bad.
A year,
beat it.
Oh,
you got playoffs or nothing now.
They got families to feed, too.
Get lost.
Okay. Apparently, you don't care about their families.
You're on the grift.
8:14 now, ESPN 97.5. Time to talk about GiveMeTheVin.com. That's my man, John Clay Wolf, who is going to be here tomorrow morning on the John Clay Wolf Show, which is the oldest running show here on our station, I believe. Clay Wolf has been doing this forever, yeah.
I was listening to his show. I was listening to a show one time. I was going to get coffee. This is like 2011. He was on the show, you know, doing his Saturday morning show.
And how about this business this dude has? I mean, he's doing $100 million a month or some crap. It's unbelievable how big, or $60 million. You think he's doing $60 million a month, which is close to a $1 billion business, just buying and selling cars. And it is, you know why he is so successful? I mean, first of all, he advertises like a mother. I mean, he is in every market now. It doesn't get any bigger now than GiveMeTheVIN.com. And he pays you more for your vehicle. That's it. He's paying you more for your vehicle than anybody else. And he guarantees it. If he says, if I can't beat CarMax, I'm sending you $100. You know what he never does? Sends you $100 because he can't beat CarMax. It's happened. I was asking the guy here in Houston. He said it happened once when they paid like $4,000 more than the car was worth. Okay. Well, he sent the check for $100. Listen, you want to sell your car? There's one place to go. GiveMeTheVIN.com. That's GiveMeTheVIN.com.
This is Ed Too Tall Jones, and you're listening to ESPN 97.5.
You are listening to The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
So we were talking about a little bit earlier about the possibility of Max Scherzer. He is going to be a free agent after this year. He's got this is the last year. His base is 27. So you'd have to pay him, I don't know, about $9 million. You would think, at 37 years old, though, he is not one of the top free agents out there. Top free agent, according to this list right now, is Corey Seager. Corey Seager, the shortstop for the Dodgers. I think everybody's just assuming Corey Seager's going back to the Dodgers, right?
Yeah.
I mean, the Dodgers just spend. They don't care about how much it's going to cost, right? The Dodgers are just going to spend and give him everything he wants. The number two free agent right now? Who do you think they got?
You mean upcoming free agent?
Yeah.
It can't be Carlos.
It's Carlos.
Is it?
Carlos Correa.
I guess the way he's hitting right now, people would think so.
Yeah. He's got a 147 WRC plus. So just so, I mean, did you know that? Where did you, what WRC plus did you have him at?
That's an outdated number.
You think we don't got use, more like 149, 140,
we don't use that metric anymore. It's a flawed metric.
It is.
Yeah.
We don't ranks second only to Xander Bogaerts among shortstops. Also managed to play in all but three of the Astros games and hasn't been on the IL since late in 2019. I debated Correa versus Trevor Story back in mid-April, but can Correa move past Seager? Correa's Statcast hitting numbers are strong this year, and he even ranks fifth among shortstops and outs above average on defense.
Can you imagine?
Are you kidding? Ranks fifth. Carlos Correa is probably the best shortstop.
Can you imagine if Carlos Correa had taken the deal the Astros offered?
Yeah.
He would have literally, that's like throwing a lottery ticket in the trash and burning it, right. Setting it on fire.
He bet on himself.
He's going to make winning. $300 million.
You think that, so?
Yes. The numbers have been set. He may not get to 340 like the other guys.
Well,
he's going to get anywhere. He'll get over 280.
You know, it's funny. Everybody, when Lindor signed the $341 million deal, everybody, well, he's not Lindor. Carlos isn't Lindor. They had the exact same OPS of 833 going into this
career.
Career going into this year. The exact same OPS. So, maybe he is Lindor. I mean, I doubted it. I didn't think he would get. I thought, take the 22 to 24 million, Carlos, and shut up. But he bet on himself, and right now he's winning.
He fired you as his agent.
Yeah, no question. Oh, no. He would have. He would.
You know,
I would have been like, give me my 3%.
So Tyler on the show on Twitter made a pretty good point. You know, your whole Max Scherzer thing, get a good pitcher that can move then that will bolster the bullpen by proxy. He makes a good point. That is actually going to happen if Verlander makes his way back. His point is,
Verlander goes to the pen.
His whole thing is, don't sleep on Verlander returning to come out of the pen. Well, what about Verlander coming back to take over a starting role?
Oh, I don't know. You can
Why
pitch
not?
Him that many innings of him coming off of that right away.
Well, it depends on when he comes back.
Right.
And it depends on how many, what's his pitch count? Can he go 80? Because 80 for him could be five innings.
He's coming back early.
Well, you know what you really don't do is you put somebody in the pen and have them come back that's not on a schedule.
Throw an inning would be better than throwing. I don't know. We'll see. They know better than we do. Well, I think the thought is he's coming out of the pen.
The thought is Justin Verlander might be your Max Scherzer, too.
Or Scherzer and Verlander.
You're already paying.
Or Scherzer and Verlander.
But then you keep Siri. You keep everybody in play. If you just want one more guy to help bolster a bullpen, how about paying
nothing? I was thinking about this. This is you and I playing poker. You are a grinder.
Well,
you like to keep it close to the vest. You and I'm all in.
I don't want to go all in all the time. It's not all the time.
But it is
when your bullpen. I've seen this already play out in Houston sports history before. But you have a bad bullpen. Address your bullpen. Don't address your starters and then hope that you get trickle down economics with it.
Well, it's not trickle
address
down.
Address your bad bullpen.
How bad was your bullpen in 17? So you had to put starters in there to relieve McCullers and Morton. And guess what happened? You won it all.
But the only reason you got there is because you had to have unbelievable hitting performance in game five to make up for him. No pitching at all helped you at all. You had to literally have one of the most unbelievable comebacks of all time.
That's what you did.
Don't have a bad bullpen. This just in. Address a bullpen ever, Astros.
But it's trickle-down. When you move starters into the bullpen, the bullpen gets better.
I called it trickle-down. And I don't believe in trickle-down when it costs you that
many prospects. You don't believe in Ronald Reagan? Prospects. That's fine.
That many prospects? No, I don't believe in
that. They named
an
airport after him.
I mean, you gave up.
Let's go through the people they named their airports after.
You guys had to give up some really good prospects. Like, we don't talk about how Jeff Leno gave up some really good baseball players over the last 5 years. He gave up some good, we're dating back to the go-go for the Carlos Gomez trade. Jeff Leno has given up some pretty good prospects in some of these trades that have not really worked, that has not worked out for the Astros.
Well, let's take a look, because they traded with Arizona and gave up all those guys. Do you know Arizona is the worst team on the road in Major League history? They're going for the record of most consecutive road losses. So I'm not sure that all those guys have really made a big difference there.
Well, I don't know about all those guys making a big difference. I'm just telling you that Jeff Leno traded away some pretty good pitchers over the years.
See if they lost last night. I got to see. What did they? If they lost again last night, that team is one of the worst ever, if not the worst ever.
You traded for Gomez and Mike Fiers. You lost Josh Hader in that deal, and Mike Fiers snitched on you. Worst trade ever. Mike Fiers snitched out your entire World Series, and you lost Josh Hader, and you had to have Carlos Gomez.
What'd you give up for Verlander, and what'd you give up for Greinke? I mean, those guys are really making a big difference because Detroit blows, and so does Arizona. Going back to the Josh Hader trade?
Well, no, that was one of the trades. It's one of the trades that he's made. Zach Greinke, and by your own admission on the show, has not been what you expected when he came in.
No, but
he's been fine. He's not been what we expected. I expected more. Scherzer would be more what I would expect. I thought Greinke would be more like what I would expect Scherzer to be. But if you get Justin Verlander back and you go Verlander, Greinke, McCullers, Garcia, Fromber, look how deep that five is. And then you've got, and even if Verlander's in the bullpen as a closer, you know, maybe as a closer, I don't know how you would use Verlander, but then you still have Urquidy, who I just knocked out of the rotation. You have the great Jake Odorizzi. You have Christian Javier. I mean, and then you have Presley. That would already be a bunch of guys in your bullpen right there. And remember, you're only going to go 4-man rotation anyway, so you actually are going to push one of those other guys into the bullpen as well. Just getting Justin Verlander back, if he could start, that would be phenomenal. But once again, I don't know what their plans are, and I don't know if Justin Verlander either even comes back. And frankly, I'm not sure the Astros, if Jim Crane really wants him to come back, since he would have insurance paying for, I would say, a good chunk, if not all of that salary. If he comes back, you're on the hook for his entire salary, right? Or no? I don't know what their insurance policy looks like.
You know, that huge trade to Arizona? Bukauskas has pitched 8 2/3 innings, and Martin has pitched 9 innings. The guys that they traded for, the bats that they traded away for Greinke, nothing. I mean, so, I mean, yeah, they gave up a ton, nothing. And for Verlander, you do that again all day. You go for it. I don't know. That's
the Verlander I liked.
Well, yeah, you did.
Verlander was nothing.
And the Greinke got you. If it's not for AJ, Greinke wins you a World Series.
I loved Greinke. I loved when they got Greinke. I was so excited. And he's been,
If not for AJ, you win a World Series.
I understand, but everything's not based on one game only, John. Or you can look at a bad one. You could look at a bad one. I get that. But it's also, you know, if it's not for AJ, yeah, I get that. Greinke had a great start there. Greinke has not been as good as we thought.
No, but you win a World Series. You win a World Series with Greinke.
Well, okay, that's great.
Yeah.
But it didn't happen. And you didn't win a World Series. And so that's that. I mean, we can't keep giving them World Series they didn't win.
That was a World Series win.
Okay. It's actually a loss.
It was the boneheaded AJ World Series. The worst move in World Series history. Congratulations, AJ. You did it. And now your team sucks in Detroit. And
By the way, Josh Rojas, who the Astros traded, you didn't mention him, who the Astros traded over there. He's got 7 home runs this year for the Diamondbacks in 191 at-bats. I'm looking for his data here. They don't have all of his data on this side of, but actually Josh Rojas, who I don't even remember him. He's actually starting over there right now. He's played in 58 games, 191 at bats, has 7 home runs.
What's his average?
He's 251 OPS of 762.
What is it?
I can't OPS of 762.
That's pretty good.
Yeah.
Not bad.
Yeah,
it's all right.
271 OPS.
He's okay.
He's 27 years old.
I don't remember him.
And we got a game 7 out of Greinke.
So. I don't remember him.
But he was stinky last night. So
he was stinky last night, that's for sure. It's 828 ESPN 97.5, someone 3780-3776, the number. The Astros bullpen is back, folks.
I don't like playing that game.
Well, I don't like playing that game either.
The bullpen is back, folks.
Yep. So we got that. And hey, you know what? There's a lot of stuff that we haven't gotten to. Like the Women's College World Series. Oh, you put that on the back burner, Del?
No, I put it on the rundown.
Yeah, the last one.
It's up to you to get to it. It's not in order of importance.
Get to it and every other thing that's happened. We've missed out on a lot of stuff.
We had Gil call in and say his niece or a family member was on the team. And he goes, I don't like women's sports, but I'm watching it because of OU. And then when she's done, I'll stop watching women's sports again.
That's right. Are you going to stop watching women's sports now that OU's won the national championship?
No,
next.
I'll watch women's soccer. I'm still in on that.
You're still on women's soccer? I'm still on women's golf.
I like women's soccer. Yeah, the U.S. women's national team. Now the other stuff, I don't watch it.
What? Why you start
mumbling?
I just
don't watch it as much. It's the same way with, like, I do. Actually, I've enjoyed watching NHL playoffs when there's action.
Are you, though?
There are no women in
actually,
that.
I like everything when there's action.
There's no women in the NHL. What are you playing? What are you talking about?
No, but I was likening it to the fact that I don't watch NHL, but I respect it, but I don't watch NHL.
You watch the NHL? The WNHL?
What's he talking about?
I don't know.
Well, no, what I was saying was I watch the women's national team, but actually, if you're wagering on something, you can, even if you don't watch it, like NHL, I don't watch, but all of a sudden when you have action, all of a sudden
then why don't you start wagering on the NWSL, the Women's Soccer League?
Yeah. If there's lines, yeah, it's all of a sudden.
Name two, because I know you can name one player. Name two.
On the Dash or the Dream or whatever team?
JJ Watt's wife.
That's not how you reference her.
I think it
Kalia
is.
Watt.
That's how Channel 13 does.
Well,
that's how I do it.
Sasha, you see how what happened when you have
my wife's going to do it? That's how
you
I'm
saw
do it.
What happened,
Sasha,
right?
That's all what happened. JJ still
Barrington.
Signed. He still signed my jersey, didn't he?
I just named one. Sasha Barrington.
Barrington.
He made that.
That's a real player.
For who?
Sasha Cohen?
No, Sasha Barrington.
Who does Sasha Barrington play for?
She plays for the
who?
For the Skip.
The Skip.
The Dallas Skip.
The Dallas Skip is not a thing. Bye.
Stay up to date with the latest innovations hitting the city of Houston by visiting innovationmap.com or follow them on any of your social media platforms. Just search Innovation Map. You're listening to The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
All right, welcome back here on ESPN 97.5. So, Oklahoma won the national championship in women's college softball.
Great victory. Denies that trash school, Florida State, a title.
Wow.
So
wow.
I'm happy about that.
Wow.
Anytime those people up in Trailer Hassie can suffer a defeat, I'm all for it. Yeah, I said Trailer Hassie. Yeah.
Trailer Hassie. So, Trailer Hassie.
Yeah, that's what I said.
Hmm. Went to Tallahassee for
Trailer.
You mean Trailer Hassie?
Mobile Homa be Trailer Hassie?
I'm not going to call it Trailer Hassie because I'll have to deal with them at some point. But I went to Tallahassee for Florida State Clemson, and it was not awesome.
What do you mean?
I don't know what I was expecting. I got there for the game. I'm all excited. I got to see Deshaun. And I was like, man, this is... I mean, is this a big college town?
It says something about Trailer Hassie that their greatest recruiting tool is taking the kids over to FAMU. That's what it says about that city. Hey, I know we're a major college town with a major college football program. We're going to take you over to the HBCU to recruit because nothing's happening over here.
So that's where the nightlife is?
It's well known that the recruits, when they go up there to party, they take the kids over to FAMU, which is in town.
Wow.
Because Florida State, whatever. Those kids, hey, look, FAMU's pretty good.
Isn't the campus nice? Isn't
what? Who cares about that?
Oh, stop.
Place.
Yeah. Miami
it's
honk.
I don't make it up. They make sure the current players take those kids over to FAMU.
We can't trust Dell now.
No, we can't trust you.
Ask anyone. Hate. Don't you guys know anyone who's associated?
With your hate.
Ask anyone who's associated with Florida State. If you know them, ask them.
Alan's listening right now.
I don't care about Alan.
He's going to tell you, it's the prettiest campus in the world.
Then he's lying.
No. It's quite possible. I can't trust you on this.
Ask Lance. Your hate. Lance was there.
It wasn't great. It wasn't great. I mean, it wasn't horrible. It just, there wasn't. Like, I've been to, when we were on vacation years ago, I went to North Carolina and Duke. I've been to Northwestern, been to Alabama, LSU. I mean, yeah, it was nothing. Look, Tallahassee, once again, it just kind of gave me the blues, if I'm being honest. I had the blues. I was sitting there walking around.
What year did you go?
And I go, your Deshaun was... So he was drafted in 17, so I went in 16.
So you had Deshaun Watson up there.
Clemson FSU.
And it gave you the blues.
Yeah. And Dalvin Cook.
Yeah. All these prospects. Christian Wilkins was out there playing. A bunch of prospects, and it gave
bunch
you the
prospects.
Blues. Look, everyone will tell you, Florida State's greatest recruit.
I stayed in a hotel that was an absolute atrocity. And it
of
was
course
booked.
It is.
It was like I took pictures of it. It was booked by NFL. We usually get booked.
That's the best
said,
places there.
They just said, this is, like, the good ones are gone, and there weren't a bunch of good ones anyway. And I was in one where, like, you couldn't believe how janky this hotel was.
That place is a dump.
And I just thought, man, this is, and it had, like, you know, 3.8 stars. It was considered decent
for
by
Tallahassee
standards.
Yeah.
I just thought, man.
You're lucky you had running water.
Oh, yeah. And it wasn't brown.
Yeah. I mean, their greatest recruiting tool is FAMU. Nothing about that place, the city itself, is attractive. It's the women who come in from outside the city to go to school there. Man, I'm glad you made it out of Trailer Hassie, though.
Yeah,
this guy says,
not a place I want to go back to.
Camp is just okay, but the girls there,
yeah,
nice.
Well, it's the state school without the
Dell
greatest.
Is lying. I've been to FSU a lot. I went on a recruiting visit in high school. It was awesome. Dusty just said that.
Dusty,
he said,
What sport did Dusty play?
I don't know. I don't know what sport Dusty played, to be honest with you.
It's Dusty.
Well, what difference does it make? It's
what's
still the
Dusty's
same.
Demographic?
It's still
what
the same.
Is Dusty black?
White guy with the beard?
Well, it's different then. You're not a.
He didn't go to FAMU, so he had a worse experience?
You're not an 18-year-old African-American male. It's different for you.
He might be African-American.
I'm sure you
maybe
went,
I just don't see color, so I don't actually know what
you just said he's a white guy with a beard. What do you mean?
I don't see color. My rods and cones don't work.
You just told me he's a white guy with a beard.
Well, I mean, he might be. He might not be.
Yeah, I'm sure they
took you. He might be African-American.
I'm sure they took you fishing.
It's for football. He ended up going to, you know where he went? Nebraska. And is tied with all the Nebraska
guys. So the guy who had a chance to go to Florida State picked Nebraska?
Because
of
that, I don't know all the stories. I've never actually heard all these stories, so actually I don't even know. Dusty, 713-780-3776. I can tell you this. As I'm driving around, look, college towns typically are not that awesome to me, but some of them are pretty cool. Austin's on a different level because it's just, I mean, it's not that great anymore because of all the Austin-y stuff that's happened with, you know.
Yeah, you mean Californians moving in?
I hate the heat. I hate I'm not a big Austin guy anymore. It was cool years and years ago, but it's ran off the tracks years ago. But most college towns are more like Texas A&M. It's fine. Texas A&M has actually come up a lot from 20 years ago. I mean, College Station is a lot better. Baton Rouge is kind of a different, like it's a college town, but it's more than a college town, right? Don't you feel like that, John Bate? Compared to College Station, Baton Rouge feels like it's just, I don't know, it feels like it's a little bit more. But when you think about it, maybe that's
it's
just
the state capital, maybe, too.
Well, yeah, and maybe it's because the
and
highway
Austin
structure.
And Austin is the state capital. I mean, it makes a difference.
That probably
Tallahassee
does,
is, too, though, right?
Yeah, well,
doesn't make the difference you're looking for.
It's not that great. Now, I've heard Madison, Wisconsin is awesome.
It's awesome. It's
a big, I've heard Madison's great.
It's like an Austin.
Yeah,
it's
never been in Madison, but I've heard Madison's really cool.
Yeah, it's neat. But LSU dominates Baton Rouge, just dominates Baton Rouge.
Yeah.
Isn't there a high school on LSU's campus?
Yeah, it's University.
Yeah, University High School.
Yeah. It's kind of, yeah.
You're going to get those guys to go to LSU. That's how you know. Like, if we lose somebody from university somewhere.
To Alabama?
We just did not cheat good enough.
No. Well, cheat good enough.
Do a good job
recruiting
of
recruiting the kid, yeah.
Yeah, right.
Of selling the kid on what we have to offer.
Yeah.
Which is this
other story.
Bag of money.
So, Atlanta.
Did you look in the sack, sir?
There was a group that tried to sue Major League Baseball to get the All-Star game back. You'll remember that Major League Baseball took away the All-Star game from Atlanta because of Georgia's ruling or Georgia's law on voting registration. So Major League Baseball was getting into politics.
That's always a comfortable round.
It's not a good thing. The NBA did that a few years ago with Charlotte. When North Carolina passed their bathroom law, wasn't it the bathroom law?
Yeah, the NCAA, or not NCAA, the ACC, I think, took the ACC title game out of Charlotte because of that as well.
Yeah. So
they brought it back, though.
And a judge ruled that, they can take it away. It's their game.
It's their thing.
They can do what they want with it. If they don't want to play in Atlanta, they don't have to play in Atlanta just because you think so. To say that the legal underpinnings of this lawsuit are weak and muddled is an understatement. So they did not. So it won't be in Atlanta. I forget where they say. Where's it going?
I will look it up. I don't remember.
I forget where it's going. But getting into politics it's never a good thing. But it happened, and it happened once again.
Banker's life. No, that's the NBA. Where is the game? Colorado, Coors Field.
Oh, that's right. It's going to Colorado, which is fine and good. And then Chris Paul. Now, they didn't play. They're playing tonight, right?
Yes.
They're playing tonight again. Chris Paul, the story is he's opting out of his $44.5 million deal.
Oh, he talked about it yesterday.
Yeah.
That he probably would, which just means he's looking for a three-year deal with all of it guaranteed, obviously.
Right.
Instead of 44.
Wouldn't you just add on to the 44 as opposed to opting out of it?
Because
his next deal is not going to average 44.
I can tell you this. It's really.
Right?
Is really, for me, if you're a team, you want Chris Paul on your team so bad, but it just, you know, you're giving him a bad deal. If you give him 3 years at $40 million, if you give him $120 million for 3 years, that's probably going to come back to get you.
So it's going to be about 33, right? $100 million over three years?
I think he's going to shoot for 120.
So if he does that, then it makes sense. But he's got to have this done before he opts out, right? You don't opt out and then go, man, I hope I get my 120.
Well, the only way he has it done is if he's already had a discussion with Phoenix.
Well, we thought Gordon Hayward wouldn't get his, and he got his. Well, why are you opting out? You haven't played, and he got his four-year, $120 million deal from Charlotte.
Yeah, I think
so. Those guys know. The agents will know.
I think the background and his age
is a little different
them.
Than that.
To no, me, but I think the agents will know. For Chris Paul, this is such a great spot for him, unless he just doesn't like living in Phoenix, or maybe behind the scenes doesn't like the team. You got a young team, you don't have any other alphas like James Harden, who they don't see eye to eye with you, that I know of or that I've heard of. You're the veteran on the team. Like, this is really a great situation for Chris Paul.
Is there any chance that he opts out and then like says, "Hey Kawhi, let's hook up"?
What if he's had a there's a chance, but what if there's a conversation that's been had where Phoenix says, "Look, if you opt out of this deal, we don't want to give you. This is a lot for us to pay Chris because we're going to have to take care of Booker and things like that." But you could say, if you opt out, we'll go 3 years at $35 million apiece. So we will give you an additional, $70 million minus, what is he opting out of, 44 right now?
44 and a half.
So 70 minus, that's 61 million additional.
Yeah.
What if we do that for you? And maybe that's a reason he would opt out, so that they could restructure for next year for this next year too.
Yeah,
it'd be a lower cap figure.
And by the way, DeAndre Ayton is going to be eligible for his extension after this season as well. So they have considerations to take.
So
into account.
So it could be one of those deals where Chris takes a lower number to help them out, and maybe they do Ayton's deal in advance. I don't know.
8:45 ESPN 97.5 Gulf Coast Chevy. You know about them?
I know about Gulf Coast Chevy. I know about the special offers that are going on right now for Gulf Coast Chevy. I'll give you an example right now. If you're looking at a new vehicle, my advice is going to be simple. Start with the team at Gulf Coast Chevy, Buick GMC, in Angleton. And I've known Craig DeSerf for, coming up on two decades. And nobody is more customer-focused. Nobody. He's been at two different places that I've known him. And ever since he's been out in Angleton, it's been the same thing. The customer is always the focus. Finding the best price, giving the best customer service, making you so happy that you willingly tell your friends and neighbors that this is the place where you guys have got to go. And this month, they have a special offer. 0% financing for 72 months on select Chevrolet SUVs when you finance with GMC or GM Financial and are a well-qualified buyer. This includes Chevy Trax, Equinox, Blazer, and Traverse. Find your new vehicle today at Gulf Coast Chevrolet, and you can also start the car buying experience early at LanceZCars.com. Chevy, find new roads.
This is Carlos Correa, All-Star and World Series champion, and big fan of Gulf Coast Chevrolet in Angleton. No one will treat you better. Chevy, find new roads.
You are listening to The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
Wow. This is interesting. That's an interesting stat you put up there. So the Bucks won 86-83, and they scored 86 in Game 2, and they lost by 39?
Yes.
So they back-to-back. See, that's the problem I have with the Bucks getting back in this series. You ain't going to win many games scoring 86 points, and that seems to be where they're at right now.
Well, the weird thing is Middleton and Giannis had good games.
Yeah.
They scored 86 with their two best players playing well.
But that box score is one had 39, one had 35. Nobody else. Everybody else has 9
possessions?
Points.
I know. How many possessions did
Five
they have?
Points.
Because it felt like more of a grind. Like, that game did feel like there was a lot more intensity. I tell you what, I give a lot of credit to the Nets. The Nets, now granted, James is out, but the Nets are really defending. The Nets have some purpose on defense, and they've played the Bucks pretty effectively from a defensive standpoint. I thought that might be a weakness, but they've actually done a nice job defensively of competing. They did the same thing in yesterday's game. Both teams were highly competitive. I mean, the Bucks are playing for their playoff lives. They had to have that game. Down 3 late in the game for Holiday to come up with the play he had. And the Nets could have ended the game. The Nets could have buried them and they just couldn't get that one shot. When they were up three, they couldn't get that one shot to put it away. Joe Harris missed one of them, and Giannis was on the boards as hard as he could be. Brooke Lopez had 5 blocks yesterday, and I'll tell you what else.
Six
blocks. Tell you what else is impressive. Blake Griffin at the end of that game had some really good defensive stops on Giannis. Blake was a good defender in the last 5 minutes.
Have you seen the video that someone, a capture of a Giannis drive against Blake? That the caption was, Giannis ain't got no bag. Like, a bag means, you know, tricks. Be able to beat guys off the dribble. Giannis, like, Blake Griffin's like, so you're just going to dribble the ball, right? I'm just going to stay 10 feet off of you and see if you have a move. Giannis doesn't have, well, he's a 6'11", dude. He has no handle. He has no ability to shake a guy. It's all speed and power. And Blake Griffin just said, go ahead. Keep dribbling.
He has no counter moves either. What you see is what you get.
And then when he finally tried to use that long step to get beyond Blake, Blake blocked a shot. I think it was a held ball or something.
Yeah, he just held on to it the whole time. His hand was on the ball because Giannis wasn't moving the ball. He wasn't like it. Yeah, he's static. His moves are static. He does not have a secondary counter that he can go to in the middle of his. You know, James goes to a Euros. James is probably the greatest I've ever seen with a counter move to whatever you do to try to stop him. Giannis is just, he plays with just pure force. Force
speed
and long
and
strides.
Force, yeah. And if you're going to play off him by at 10 feet at a time, it's not going to work. And I mean, Giannis is good enough to find ways to get buckets just because of his skill, but when it's exposed out there and Blake Griffin and it's spread wide and it's just him and Blake in the lane, Giannis had nothing. So that's a guy who in the playoffs has his game kind of exposed. People watch him and go, "Huh, this is your MVP?" With no counter move, he's going to have to find a way. Because if he doesn't develop a jump shot, why wouldn't everyone play him that way?
Yeah, and they are limited whereas the Nets. I mean, Joe Harris, 1 for 11, 3 points out of Joe Harris. Blake Griffin has given you a lot of offense since he's been here, and he had 5 points. I don't predict that happening again. Now, the Bucks obviously can play better. But they had 35 and 33. Middleton had 35, and Giannis had 33. The next highest scorer was 9, Holiday. He had a bad game.
He was bad, but made the biggest shot. He came up with one big shot.
One big shot. That's it. That's all you need. Ask Robert Horry. But then 4, 3, and 2. That's all the scoring.
And nothing from anyone else.
9, 4, 3, and 2.
What did you want them to do? Did you see how much isolating? This is the most iso ball I think I've ever seen in a game not involving James Harden. I have never seen so much iso ball. Once Chris Middleton had the ball, it was a wrap. No one else was going to touch it. When Chris Middleton had it in his hands, the ball was going up. And Giannis wasn't much different. So it was two guys playing hella iso ball, and everyone else just sitting around. Like, is that their fault?
That
they're not involved in a game? And Van Gundy more than one time talked about people being involved. Like, look at the Nets here. Everyone's involved. And I know it's killing Jeff because he doesn't like just the standard iso ball.
No. So they had, the Bucks had 90 shots and 10 turnovers. So at least 100 possessions there.
Yeah.
100 shots, 100 possessions, and they scored 86 points. And then the other game. Utah taking care of business, 117-111 was the final, and that one. And Donovan Mitchell is a good basketball player. I'm just saying. All right, that's my take on it. Donovan Mitchell is a good basketball player. 853 ESPN 97.5 713-780-3776. If you want to get in here, our Astros lose. They're on the road now in Minnesota, and you know, this is the Minnesota's not a good baseball team right now. So you go in there, you got Urquidy tonight against Shoemaker. Then you got Luis Garcia against Berrios and Fromber against Pineda. So this is the Astros looking good, playing good baseball. Took one on the chin last night, the bullpen and the one of the worst innings that we can in recent memory, honestly, with 2 drop fly balls. and hit by pitch scores a run, walk scores a run. The Astros scored a run, walked in a run. Two for the Red Sox. They scored two runs with walks, one by a hit pitch. Holy, what a crappy game. It was 7-7, and it was like, this is not good baseball.
The game was taking...
And it was forever.
The game was taking... They were 2.5 hours in with in the fourth inning or fifth inning. They already had up on my TV screen, it already said post-game show, and they were in the fifth.
Right.
It said post-game show scheduled, 9 o'clock. I'm like, no, this ain't post-game
show. No, that ain't no post-game show. That was just bad, bad baseball yesterday. So you got that. At Minnesota, Urquidy's got to pitch better tonight. He didn't pitch very well in his last outing. He's got to pick it up, and Odorizzi got to pick it up. And Lance McCullers looked pretty damn good last night, too, by the way. Did you see the standing O he got at Sugarland?
Yeah, I did.
That was neat.
That's really cool that they – it's cool that they
– Isn't it neat that it's right here?
Yeah, I haven't been out there yet this year, and I love going to games out there, but it's been interesting that the segment that they have, they play it all the time, where the new assistant general manager, Pete Fatulli, he's talking to Julia Morales, and she talks about, well, what's – and they show some B-roll footage of some changes being made out at Constellation Field. And Julia Morales asks about what were the major changes, and he talks about how small the weight room was and that needed to be bolstered and brought widened out, and, you know, they made some changes to the bullpen. And they talked about the changes they made to the park itself, which was pretty interesting. So I'm interested to go to the park, and my guess is it's all infrastructure. I probably won't be able to see it or tell, but Jim Crane did make changes to the park to make that, if y'all haven't seen this on TV, to make it to his standards for a minor league park, or maybe the standards of minor league parks. They did make some changes to the weight room, to the visitor's dugout, the home team dugout. They had things they had to change behind the scenes. But the big thing they pointed out was weight room and a place for guys to work out. But I don't know if anything's changed. Have you been out yet?
I don't know that there are many minor league parks that are better for fans.
No, it was awesome for fans.
Yeah, it's awesome for fans what they've done. I think they put most of their money into that for the fan experience. So they probably had to, like you said, they needed a bigger weight room for a major league team and dugouts and whatnot. But a buddy of mine went, and he said he sat first row behind the dugout. He spent $20. He brought his dad, who lives over there. Dad is a little bit older, and he brought his dad out there, and he said it was awesome. It was just a great.
Oh, I love going to Skeeters games. It was so much fun. My kids loved it.
But now it's a little bit different. He said, and you know what? I follow Astros baseball, and so I know of a lot of the guys that I watched that night. So it's so much better than, you know, as the independent team. It's you're following the Astros team, the guys who quite possibly will be up at the major league level at some point, or could be up at the major league level.
Absolutely.
So that's great. It's so smart. I don't know why this didn't take all that long. This is the way it goes.
It's so advantageous to be able to. I mean, for your scouts from a travel standpoint, you don't have time on the road with per diem that you have to pay them for your scouts to go down there, and they get this amount of money for the lunch and this amount of money for dinner, and then you got a hotel room that they have to stay in, and you eliminate that cost, you eliminate time on the road for the scouts, where it's just the drive.
Not only scouts, but Lance McCullers slept in his own bed last night.
Yeah, I mean, it's an advantage all the way around.
Yeah.
It's a huge advantage, I think, to be able to pull somebody up like that.
Yeah.
We got to get them. We got to fly them in. We got an emergency situation here where this guy's got to go to the DL. He fell down or he broke his ribs getting a massage. You've got literally.
Yeah, but have you tried to drive from Sugarland to downtown?
It's easy.
Oh, really?
Yeah, it's been easy until now.
59? You tried that at 6 o'clock.
Yeah, I used to live out there, and it was bad at 6 o'clock in the morning.
No, at night.
From Sugarland? Oh, it's not bad coming in
horrific.
From Sugarland.
No, it's horrific.
It's the same place where it gets the same place is crappy in downtown. Once you get past where you get the Shepherd, that's a long way. It's about to be bad though. Actually, that trip is about to get bad.
So,
do you know the big thing that it was supposed to happen last week and they've delayed it to this week?
This weekend.
I think it may have started.
Do you know there was a helicopter hovering over my house all morning long because they closed down 59 and 610?
So if you didn't hear it last week, we talked about it. this is going to be terrible.
It's awful.
They're shutting down 610 North entrance from 59. They're going to divert it. If you're coming southbound, headed north, you're going to have to now take 610. You're going to have to now take the Fornis exit headed like to the NRG Stadium. You're going to have to take Fornis and then you turn around and then get back on the ramp. That's how you're going to have to. They're not shutting down 610. They're just shut the entrance ramp, which was already a bottleneck situation anyway. It's going to be now. It's all going to be bottlenecked into 610 South.
No,
to U-turn.
You see, I live right there off 610 and 59.
You used to
I do now. Every weekend.
Oh yeah, but not like you. Not you would have been right there with the U-turn situation.
No, every weekend, Richmond and Westheimer, because it's the ramps are closed and it's the worst.
Oh, it's going to be everyone.
It's going to be the worst. The worst.
Yeah, it's everywhere in the whole area.
You people are the worst. But the good news is, don't come near my neighborhood.
But the good news is,
I don't want you in my neighborhood.
Did you hear when it's supposed to finish?
And I don't care what race you are. I don't want you in my neighborhood.
No one said you did.
Yeah. No.
Did you hear the good news, John? When it's supposed to finish?
What, 2080?
No, it's the summer of 2022. Everything should be fine in a year. It's only going to be like this for a full year. Now, the other way is closing, too. So, 59
I don't want to talk
South. About. No, seriously, y'all need to know this. 59 South, when you take 610 North exit, that one's going to be closed, too.
Could you stop trafficking in traffic fear porn? We've moved on.
No, that's you're a this real guy. Thing. See, you don't ever have to go. You don't care.
You don't know.
You live out in Deer Park.
We've moved on from vaccine fear porn that you like to traffic in. Now it's actually trafficking
this
and traffic
is
fear
real.
Porn.
Those of us who live there, John, are you worried about it?
I'm worried about it. It blows.
Thank you. Me too, Del.
Do I have to?
Just because we're not in League City with you, you don't
do
even
I
know
have
about it. You've
to compare
been on 59.
You. Do I have to compare you to an atrocity from 80
ass.
Years ago? Do
no
I
one
to,
drives on 45.
Do
that's
I have
ass
to?
Road.
Do I have to remember how you got compared to an atrocity from 80 years ago earlier this week? Do I have to do that again to get you back in line?
Atrocity from 80 years ago.
Remember the vaccine?
Here, no, do you fear? The northbound connector ramp from 59 to northbound 610 in southwest Houston will close completely starting at 9 p.m. June 10th and remain closed until early 2022.
So it already started.
Yeah.
Oh, what are you worried about?
Yeah. Told you, Del. It's not
fear
porn.
The worst day
it's
of my
real
life.
Porn.
Stop.
No.
It's real porn?
It's real fear.
It's real
on
fear.
June 14th, the southbound ramp from 59 to northbound 610 will close and remain closed through late 2021. Wow.
Doesn't that all sound terrible?
Wow. This is the worst day of my life.
And my ass is going to have
902.
How do I get to Rio now?
Stop crying.
I have to go San Felipe.
All this crying. Leave your house earlier.
I want to talk about HRMP because you know what? Because I'm going to have a bad attitude around here, and they might have to call me. Okay? You know who's going to have a bad attitude? Me. And you know what? And then Laura's going to have to call. She's going to have to call HRMP, and they're going to have to tell what they have to do with me with my bad attitude. But listen. We've had to call HRMP before on issues because you don't want to make mistakes with HR. That's for sure. You don't. And listen, we've called them before too with, hey, we need help with our PPP. We need our help with our small business loan. We need help with all of these restrictions and everything else that's going on with the government or what the government is helping aid. We've called HRMP, and you know who was there for us? HRMP. Affordable Care Act. You know who's there every year to help us with our taxes? HRMP. You know who's there every payroll? I don't even know if Laura has to call them or what, because it just runs so smoothly. When you're talking about HRMP, you're talking about a wonderful, wonderful partner, and that's what they are. They're a partner with us, with the payroll, with the HR, and with all our benefits packages as well. So if you're looking now, they don't do the benefits packages. They just give off the options of different companies that do that. They're just HR and payroll. And if you're looking for that, the wonderful, wonderful company, all you got to do is go to HRP.net, 281-880-6525 or HRP.net.
ESPN 97.5.
What defines Ohio? A place that dares to go first and never looks back. There's no slowing us down. In Ohio, we're powering America, discovering breakthroughs, driving the future, propelling tomorrow. At Jobs Ohio, our mission is clear. Strengthen job opportunities and empower Ohio's workforce. Ohio, our time is now. See Ohio's momentum at jobsohio.com/Ohio's time.
Are you a questioner, a wanderer, or even a bit of a snooper? If so, then you'll feel right at home in Knoxville. We've got miles of trails to wander in our urban wilderness, award-winning eateries to satisfy your culinary cravings, cultural sites to open your mind, and dog-friendly activities that'll have everyone wagging. Knoxville, calling the curious. Learn more at visitknoxville.com.